Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
And the word today comes from John 15, verses 12 to 17. And it reads, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you would love one another."
Thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you for this morning that we can come together and hear from you, Lord God. That you would bless our time together, Lord God. That you would have your way in us. That you would speak to each and every one of us, Lord God. You know our situations that we're in, Father. And so this morning we turn our eyes, we turn our focus onto you this morning, Lord God. That you would show us, speak to us, reveal to us your word and your will. And we ask these things in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. And all the mighty saints say, amen. Amen. Okay, so we are going through our series of On the Job. Okay, we're going through our series of On the Job. And we're looking at qualities that can help us be good stewards, be good representatives for Christ on the job. Okay, now when we're using the term on the job, it's not just about being in a paid job. Okay. This is more about what God has called each and every one of us as individuals to do, right? And so whether you're a stay-at-home parent or whether you're working or whether you're volunteering somewhere, whatever capacity that is, God has called you to do that in this season. And so you are on the job, okay? Students, you know, young people in your schools, you're called to represent God in your schools. And so you are on the job, okay? You probably don't get paid for it, but that's okay. You're a student, okay? Your parents pay you, okay? So, last week I spoke about integrity. And we looked at the life of Joseph. And we saw how, you know, his life was filled with God, right? And how it resulted in him being a very successful person. So much so that the people around him were blessed by Joseph. But it didn't start out like that, you see, because his older brothers, they were very jealous of him, right? Because there was some favoritism from their father towards Joseph. And so that caused some tension between Joseph and his brothers, right? And it was sort of made bigger when Joseph told them about his dreams, the dreams that he had. He had been given these dreams about his parents and his brothers all bowing down to him, and his brothers were not impressed with that, right? And so Joseph's character began to develop more as he went through life's challenges. And he went through a lot more challenges from that point as a teenager. But the depth of his integrity grew even more deeper as well. And it was in prison where he was fine-tuned by God. In that place of solitude and isolation, where God molded and shaped him for the dream job that he gave him as a teenager. And so today we're going to be looking at the quality of friendship. Everybody say friendship.
Friendship.
Friendship. And so the title of my message today is A Friend Request from Jesus. Okay? Yes, it's so nice, eh? Yes, because I saw some friend requests on my Insta and I was like, oh, what about that one? Okay, so question, how do you build friendships with people? How do you personally build friendships with people? And so I just thought, you know what, let me just Google this, all right? You Google it, as everyone does. And so how do you build friendships with people? That was my search criteria. And the things that it came up with, man, it was like all this list of stuff, right? So you got be yourself. Forgiving, time, gratitude, friendly, available, priorities, shared interests, fun, appreciative, encouraging, dependable, all these stuff. These were the ones that I sort of saw like were like common or consistent across all these websites that I went to. And in all honesty, this is a fantastic list, right? If there was a person that did all this, they would be an amazing friend, right? But the truth of the matter is that when we're building friendships, there can be certain qualities that we ourselves will tend to lean towards, or that we specifically look for, right? As an individual, because you've seen stuff, you have a perspective on things, and so you will have, oh, this is what I'm looking for in a friend. And so this morning, I want us to think about this, to consider this question. Could our own individual ideas of what makes a good friend be either incorrect, incomplete, or in need of an improvement? Could our own individual ideas, you know, could the way that we attempt or the way that we think about making friends, the way that we build relationships, the way that we build friendships, could they be incorrect, incomplete, or could they be in need of improvement? And so generally speaking, when we're looking to make new friends, we've got to be clear on what kind of friends we want, right? And so most people say that there are like three types of friends, right? There are three types of friends. Your first one is your high bye friends, right? You know those friends. Oh, hi, bye, right? Usually that's in the context of like your work environment, right? You see them in the morning, oh, hi, end of the day, oh, bye, right? Kids, you know, in your schools, you have those guys in your schools, right? In your class, maybe, do you say hi to each other? No, you don't? Okay. You need to make some friends in your class, kids. Okay, so you have your high bye friends. And then next one, you have your regular friends. Okay, your regular friends. These are the ones that you hang out with socially. You do stuff together. They're your activity buddies, right? You spend time with them and you have conversations about them that you know, you can generally talk about most stuff with them, right? Your regular friends. And then you have your close friends. Now, your close friends or your best friends. Now, people that you can talk to about anything and everything. These are the guys that you go deep with in your conversations. Whether you're going through stuff in life, you're able to, you feel like you have this connection, this trust with them. That what you're sharing with them, that they will hear you and understand you and be able to they get you, right? So these are usually your close friends. And so it's not necessarily about, you know, the number of times you meet with them, but more about the depth of the conversations with them. These are friends that you can trust to be there whenever you need them, and they will go the extra mile for you. Now, I know some of us in here already started to think about, okay, this person is a high bye, this person is a regular, this person, I think I need to say bye-bye to this person, right? But those people, we start to categorize our friends that we know. But my point is not just about identifying our friends, but it's more ensuring that we have friends in each of these groups. Because these three groups, they play a major part in, you know, informing and helping us grow as people, as a person, right? These friends are all contributing to who we are becoming. So most people say that, you know, a healthy number of close friends is around 1 to 3, right? It's a nice small tight circle. 1 to 3 close friends. And so you want to have a smallish number, right? Now, I'm not saying that there is a magic number to it. Nah. But a good guide is to go by Jesus' model, right? Jesus had 12. But they weren't his close friends. They were his regular friends, this 12. He had a close friends, and that was 3. James, John, and Peter. Those are his 3 guys that he sort of really spent a lot of time with. And so what should we look for in choosing these close friends? What should we look for? You know, for me, when I want to build with people, when I want to build friendships with people, number one for me is that they're on the same journey as me. That we're both heading in the direction of following Jesus, right? You know, it's hard to follow someone who doesn't see Jesus in their perspective of their life, right? And so that's for me is number one for me. Is if they're running towards Jesus, then cool. That's a great start. The next thing I'll probably want to look for is what sort of fruit are they bearing in their life? You know, I'm looking at their life and I say, man, you know, I love how he leads their family. I love how he loves his wife in public. I love how he treats his children. I love his faithfulness. I love his integrity, you know? And those sort of things can be clues. Oh, okay. Man, I'd like to see that in my own life. I'd like to see that embedded in my own, in the way that I conduct myself as a father, as a husband, as a brother. I like what Charles Swindoll says. And he says this, I cannot even imagine where I would be today if it were not for that handful of friends who have given me a heart full of joy. Let's face it, friends make life a lot more fun. Isn't it good to have friends, right? It's fun to have friends, right? Yeah. Do you have fun, friends? Please find fun, friends. Life is short. Do not have fun, friends. Okay, so who are your high-bye friends? Who are your regular friends? Who are your close friends in your life? You know, and our passage today is in the book of John that we enter into the section where Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And it's getting closer to the time to when Jesus is going to be betrayed and led to his death. And so Jesus is like giving his final instructions to his disciples before all this begins to unfold. And so in chapter 15, Jesus is teaching his disciples about the true vine and how Jesus is the true vine and how they are to abide in him. Now to abide, it means to live in him, to remain in him, to be connected to him. And Jesus says this amazing statement in John 15 verse 10. It says this, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, if you follow my commandments, if you follow my instructions for you, you will abide. You will live and you will remain in, and you will continue in my love. That's what Jesus says. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so Jesus is always about going first. He isn't just about all talk and he hasn't done it himself. He says it and he does it. He's already done it, right? That is one of the greatest things about Jesus. In verse 12, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And so Jesus here is telling what this commandment is, right? He just said, follow my commandments. Here is the commandment I want you to follow. Love one another as I have loved you. You think about the last 3 years of Jesus' life that he spent with his disciples, right? He had pretty much shown his disciples what it looked like to love them, to love one another, right? He taught them, he protected them, and his greatest moment of demonstrating his love was about to be revealed. Jesus wanted his disciples to love one another, to love each other just as he had loved them. Differences and all, issues and all, stinky attitude and all, just love each other. Work through that. I think sometimes in life, you know, when we're trying to build with someone and you know, something comes up in that relationship, we're like, oh, nah, I don't want to be your friend, bro. You got like too much baggage, right? And then we're like, push them away. And it's like, is that what God wanted you to do? God wants us to accept people, walk alongside people. It's going to get messy. It's going to get ugly. But that's why you have God in your life, so he strengthens you through that situation, right? Question, how are we at loving one another? How are we at loving one another? Have we ourselves experienced the love of Christ in our own lives so that we can love others? You know, if you call every nation, Logan, your spiritual family, how are we at loving one another? I'm talking to myself here as well, right? How are we loving one another? What does that look like? Is it just here on Sunday? Oh, I love you here on Sunday. And then Monday to Saturday, we forget about them. I know that's what you're thinking. But that's true for me as well. Do I just touch base with you here? You know, do we just say hi and bye here? But then the rest of the week is like, nah, I've got my own things to think about. I've got my own issues to walk through. But as a spiritual family, we want to, hey, have people around us that have this common heart, this common desire of walking towards God. Do we have them around us? Verse 13 says, this greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. This is the ultimate act of love, right? To willingly offer one's life for another. I want to show you a clip of a movie, okay? Don't bag the movie, all right? Just watch it for the content. Don't look at the quality of it, okay? But I'll give you a little heads up, okay? So it's a Michael Bay movie directed by Michael Bay, and the movie is Armageddon, okay? Made in 1998. The young people are going, what year is 1998? Who cares? Just watch it, okay? Just watch it, okay? But this is a movie about Bruce Willis, starring Bruce Willis, right? And so he's this deep sea oil driller, Harry Stamper, and so he and his team of deep oil diggers, they're all brought in to assist NASA in preventing a giant asteroid from destroying the Earth. Yes, it's one of those end time ones. Anyone need tissues? I did the first time I saw that movie, okay? But in a selfless act, we see Harry staying back on the asteroid. You know, they got onto the asteroid and they planted these nukes in it. And so he was the one who decided, I'm staying here because I need to be here to detonate this, because someone had to be physically on the asteroid. I don't know who hops on an asteroid, but yeah. Okay, but he's there. And so this is like his final moments before he pushes that button, sacrificing himself to save the earth. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus is our real life example of someone laying down his life for others. In fact, for all of humanity, he did that. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. You know, this was a major thing that Jesus was saying here. This is really important because in that local setting, in that time, Jesus, he was known as a rabbi, a teacher, and his disciples, their relationship was never seen as a friendship. Their relationship was seen more as a servant relationship. Servant relationship. They never saw each other as friends. But Jesus here is breaking that mold. He's setting a new precedent. And he calls them friends. Jesus is shifting the culture. This condition that you are my friends if you do what I command you. If you follow my instructions. This was putting a great value and cost on this friendship. Do we have that value? Do we see that value in our friendships that we have around us? Do we see the importance of having that in the people that we want to be friends with? Think about this. Would you follow Jesus' command so that you can become his friend? Verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And so Jesus is reiterating the importance of their friendship. And some of the benefits of being friends with Jesus is that there are no secrets. Jesus says, all that I've heard from my Father, I've told you. I've told you, I've let you know, nothing is hidden. There is total transparency in this friendship. Think about this. Do you have friendships that have total transparency? How does that add strength to your relationship with that person? When you know that you can be totally honest with them, what does that do for your relationship? Do you trust them more? Do you rely on them a little bit more? Because you know that they're going to hear you. They're going to get you through this. Think about this. Do you have friendships that verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask for and ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. His choosing is not just about being his disciple, but it's one that results in belonging exclusively to Jesus. belonging exclusively to Jesus rather than to the world. Okay, Paul tells us that we are in the world, but we're not of it, right? We're in here, but we shouldn't be like connected and living and like, you know, but you know, we should be connected to Christ, but we're living in this world. Jesus has spoken of the great privilege of for the disciples, you know, in terms of friendship with the Master, answered prayer, bearing much fruit, knowing things from the Father. And so the disciples, they were all grounded in this fact that Jesus chose them. He specifically chose them. And that is what they are being reminded of. You know, I don't know whether you experienced this in school, but like, you know, back in you know, in college, you know, you do like PE and, you know, they have to choose teams. You know, those ones, you know, no, the trauma. Especially like when you're the last out of the two and they still choose the other guy. But, you know, Jesus chose you. Jesus chose you. He specifically wants you on his team. That's like, wow. You know, that's pretty cool, right? Jesus chooses disciples not simply so that they would have the thrill of knowing that they are chosen, but so that they would bear fruit that remains. That they would live lives that would be reflect God and point back to God. Bearing fruit means remaining in Jesus. That the way we conduct ourselves, the way we speak, the way we walk, the way that we make decisions, it's all reflective of what God, its character, God's nature, it's all about God, right? Bearing fruit that remains is a major part of why we are here in Logan. Bearing fruit that remains. We want to be fruitful here in Logan. What does that look like though, Henry? Good question. Thank you for asking. It looks like this. It looks like us building relationships in our community. Building friendships with people that are different from us. It's got to look like our community. If you look around our community is very diverse, right? There's lots of different people. It ain't all Pacific Islanders. It ain't all Filipinos. There's diversity in our community. And so the challenge for us is, that I want to put to us is, who are you building with? Are you just building with people who just look like you, who talk like you, who dress like you, who think the same way as you? Or are you building with people that are different from you, that have a different understanding of, may not even have an understanding of God. They may have a totally different thing. But are you building with them? Are you walking alongside them? Are you being that representative of Christ in their life? That's the challenge that I want to put on my... That's the challenge for me. And I hope that you can see that as a challenge for yourself. That's what we're called to do in this in our community. For me and Helen, we work in... we run, you know, fitness classes in one of our local gyms here. And we see that as an opportunity for us to... This is an opportunity to connect with our community. I used to be that guy that would just go to the gym, put my headphones on, don't disturb me, don't talk to me, I'm doing my stuff, you know? Hello, you're in a place where, you know, everyone wants to do that, but try and build with people around you, have a chat to people, right? How are you going? How's your day going? They say, good, oh, what's good about it? Because most people, I say, oh, it's good, and then they walk away. It's like, you know, what is good about it, right? And in that way, it's like, you really want to know? So there you go. Here's a tip for you, okay? If you want to take your conversation a little bit deeper, just say, what's good about it? If they say, oh, it stink. Well, what stink about it? Go deeper with them. It's just one question, but you're like telling them, oh, you want to know more about me? That's what you're saying. These things I command you so that you will love one another. You will love one another. Verse 17. Again, Jesus is commanding love among his disciples. They must not separate or isolate themselves to turn against each other. They are to love one another. You know, what if we changed our perspective of friendship? The way we approached making friends, right? What if we flipped it? What if we built friends the way that Jesus modeled it? So I want to give us some practical handles on this. On biblical friendships. Okay, and I like this definition of our biblical friendship from an article on the Gospel Coalition website. And they said this, biblical friendship exists when two or more people bound together by a common faith in Jesus Christ pursue Him and His kingdom with intentionality and vulnerability rather than serving as an end in itself. Biblical friendship serves primarily to bring glory to Christ, who brought us into friendship with the Father. It is indispensable to the work of the gospel in the earth and as an essential element of what God created us for. This is so important to what God is calling us to do on this earth. So a biblical friendship means that you're a friend of Jesus. We were singing about it at the beginning. The following points are from Sean Lazar's blog, right? And he gives these five important truths about friendship. And they're all based on our passage today in John 15. And so the first one is this, okay? Friendship with Jesus is conditional. Friendship with Jesus is conditional. You are my friends if, right? That's what Jesus said. You are my friends if. Friendship is not automatic. It's not a free gift. You need to do something to be Jesus' friend, right? You need to click that like button. You need to click that connect button. Yep, I want to be your friend. That's the doing part. But then also the growing part of that is that, what are you doing in your friendship with Jesus? What are you doing in your friendship with Jesus? How are you growing in that friendship with Jesus? Right? Secondly, friendship with Jesus depends on obeying His commands. Friendship is earned. You have to do what Jesus says to be His friend. Think of this. Do you usually think of your friends as people who obey whatever you command? Probably not, eh? Because our friends are not robots. Then that's a clue that Jesus is not talking about the modern concept of friendship. Jesus' definition of friendship is different. It's about following His commands. It's about following Him. Number three, friendship with Jesus means He is our master. He is our master. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. So unlike slaves, we know what our master is doing. In other words, Jesus is still our master. Friendship does not change that. You know, just because we may be a friend of Jesus, that does not mean now that, oh, me and Jesus, man, we boys. Me and Jesus, He's my bro. Bro. No. Okay? Jesus is not your bro. He's not your homie. Jesus is your master. Jesus is still your master. We're friends with Him, but there's still that clarity of like, you know, He is my master, right? And sometimes we forget that. We try and treat Him like the bro next door, right? But Jesus is much higher than that, guys. We got to keep that in mind. That's the holiness of God right there. You all right? You all right? Okay, you guys are looking seriously at me. I'm just wondering if you still love me or not. Number four, we're nearly home. Friendship with Jesus means having intimate knowledge of His plans. His plans, right? Jesus tells His friends what the Father has told Him, right? For all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus has told them about it, right? The difference between being a slave and being a friend comes down to the difference in knowledge. The difference in what you know about them. Number five, friendship with Jesus is mission-oriented. It's mission-oriented, right? Being friends with Jesus is not just about spending leisurely time by the pool, in the shopping. Yeah, I'm with Jesus, drink my coffee and my latte. Yay, you know? It ain't about that. There's a real purpose to what Jesus is calling us to do, guys. There's something real that God is calling us to do. We're called to do something greater. We're called to influence and change our society. We don't have to change the whole world, but just change the community that you're in. Change the space where you're in. Be that change in wherever you are, in that workplace, in that school. Be that change. Be that change towards drawing people towards Christ. We're called to do something greater. That's what the Great Commission is about. It's all about shifting the culture towards Jesus Christ. It's about building relationally with people towards Christ. That is our mission. So our question, are you a friend of Jesus? And so we're going to go into our discussion part here. Okay? So in our discussion part, have you accepted Jesus' friend request? That's the question for today. So in your partner, be around, okay? So talk about this, okay? So have you accepted Jesus' friend request? And so if not, why not? But if you have, could you share with your partner, what does that look like? What has been different for you since accepting Jesus as your friend? What has changed, right? So have a chat. We'll give about 3 minutes to have a chat with the person next to you. Just where you are at, okay? Where you're at. Is that cool? Okay, see you in 3 minutes, guys.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.